Proverbs chapter 11. And let me ask you to stand. Verse number 1 will be our preaching portion this evening. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And let's pray. Father, I pray your help and wisdom in understanding and preaching your word. And Lord, I pray for us that we have more than just an intellectual knowledge of these proverbs and this book, but that it would be our very great treasure and the desire of our hearts to obey every part of it, not simply in deed, but in spirit. And I ask this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may, of course, be seated. Well, so we're given some time to Proverbs, and it's not my intention to preach through the entire book, proverb by proverb. And when I began working through chapter 11, quite honestly, my first inclination was to pass right over this proverb. But what caught my attention is that very strong word, abomination. It is the most severe form of condemnation that God has to utter. He doesn't have a stronger word in the Bible vocabulary than to call something abominable. Things like homosexuality are abominations. Things like false religions are abominations. Things like having a false balance are abominations. It just struck me that it would strike most of us as relatively out of place for something as seemingly harmless as a false balance to merit such condemnation. Now, what we have before us here is a proverb. Of course, you know that. In the Hebrew text, there's not even a verb in the proverb. You'll notice if you look at your King James Bibles that the verbs have been supplied by the translators. That's why the word is italicized. There's no judgment threatened. There's no blessing promised. There's no activity commanded. There is a simple statement of fact. A false balance is abominable, and a just weight is delightful. It is a commentary. The law is very clear, and we'll look at some of the passages in just a few minutes. The law is very clear about what is going on, but Solomon just makes this commentary. This balance or the scale is an important part of the means of exchange in the ancient world. Of course, if you were in the auditorium for Bible school, you would have seen one in action because Brother Bill Smith uses one when he takes the offering. And the pennies that the boys give are placed on one side of the scale, and the pennies that the girls give are placed on the other side of the scale, and whichever side is heaviest wins the offering for the day. In the Hebrew world, the monetary designations, things like shekels, are not denominations. They're not like ones and fives and tens. They're units of weight. A shekel was a weight. And these weights were standardized. Leviticus 27:25, "And all thy estimations shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs, shall be the shekel." And so the shekel was an established measurement of weight. And if you wanted, for instance, to go to the market and buy a shekel's worth of grain, then the merchant would simply put the stone that weighed a shekel, which is, by the way, what the word weight actually refers to, a stone, on one side of the scale. And then he would pour grain on the other side of the scale until they balanced. And if that happened, That was a just weight. You wanted a shekel's worth of grain, and you got a shekel's worth of grain. It's really very simple. Let me ask you to turn, if you would, to a couple of Old Testament passages that deal with this. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse number 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. This doesn't mean you can't have different sized measuring spoons. It means that you can't have two different measuring spoons marked tablespoon that don't equally contain a tablespoon. It doesn't mean that you can't have different size measurements for your scale. It means that you can't have one stone that is a shekel's weight for some people and another stone that you call a shekel's weight for other people. You can't do that. But thou shalt, verse number 15, have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. And then if you would back to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 35. Leviticus 19:35. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meteared, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. So let's just walk through this very quickly. Let me just kind of give you the list, all right? So God said, no unrighteousness. That means you may not do any injustice in this area. You may not do it in judgment. You may not do it in matters that we might call social justice. Ye shall not do it in meteared. Meteared refers to the size of something or the dimensions of something. How many acres is that? How many square feet are we talking? How many square yards is that? You may do no injustice in that measurement. Not in weight. How much does it weigh? Not in measure. That's a word that refers to quantity. Actually, the root of the word is division, and it's usually word referenced water, water by measure. You must have a righteous balance, a righteous ephah. An ephah was a measurement of dry goods, and a righteous hin. A hin was a measurement of liquid. So whether it was weight, or whether it was a dry good, or whether it was a liquid, you had to be honest in using the scale. And yet we find, folks, that this was a complaint that God had against his people, that they were unjust in this area. In Hosea chapter 12 and verse number 2, God begins to condemn Judah, the tribe of Judah, for their iniquity. This is what he says about them. In verse number 7 of Judah, he is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. So this is what God saw with reference to the nation of Israel. Or Amos chapter 8 and verse number 4. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Or Micah chapter 6 and verse number 10. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? And the scant measure, and the word scant means light, as in light weight, the scant measure that is abominable. Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. So it is mentioned in the law, it is condemned in its violation, and Solomon writes to us about it on several occasions. Proverbs 11:1, Proverbs 16:11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Now, just, all right, I mean, that's not the text this evening. But in light of what God has taught us about that, God's claim to us is that he always deals with us equitably, never deceitfully. All of the weights in his bag are just. Or Proverbs 20:23, diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So the proverb is that a false balance is abominable to God, and a just balance is delightful to God. And God, that is just simply a commentary on what God has been teaching and condemning in violation. Now let's make sure that we understand exactly what the sin is. Okay? This is not any kind of advocation of a socialistic or Marxist, economic system in where all prices are rigidly set by the government. It's not that at all. In other words, it's no violation of the proverb or the law for one grocery store to sell milk at a different price than another grocery store. It is no violation of the law for them to say, our milk is $8 a gallon. It is a violation of the law for them to say, our milk is $8 a gallon, and when you buy it, you discover you only have 3 quarts of milk. It is not that kind of violation. Neither is it a violation of the law for you to pay $8 for a gallon of milk when you could, in fact, buy it for a fraction of that at another store. So God is not condemning you for overpaying a merchant for his goods. That is not what this is at all. This is no advocacy for across-the-board pricing. Everybody gets the same price for the same good. The sin is the sin of deceitfulness. The sin is the sin of dishonesty. And the sin, by the way, is bilateral dishonesty. And I want to make sure that we understand that, because one of the ways we tend to think about these things as Americans is this. If it is the government, if it is a big business, if it is a large corporation, if it is a rich guy, it's okay to try to take advantage of him because he's got a lot of money. Or it's okay to take advantage of him because he's probably trying to take advantage of me. And our churches, I have no shortage of people who, if they would not verbalize it that way, would certainly live that way. But I want you to understand, folks, that this is a bilateral condemnation of dishonesty. This is a just weight that is being called for. This was an equality on the scales that is demanded. God counts it a great sin if Amazon takes advantage of me. God counts it an equally great sin if I take advantage of Amazon. If I buy something from Amazon, folks, and they ship it to me, and I don't like it, and I want to return it, and when I click the reason for the return, one of the several reasons in which they will pay for the return charges so I don't have to, that is dishonesty. That is nothing other than cheating. If I went down to the store and bought a computer disk of a video game or a program and then tried to duplicate it and return it so I didn't have to spend my money on their product, that is a sin as well as a crime. But they're big and they have all kinds of money and they are gouging us anyway. God's call is for a just balance. It is an abomination when my insurance company lies to me, but it is an abomination if I lie to my insurance company. It is an abomination if my government lies to me, but it is an abomination if I lie to my government as well. I'm not allowed to lie on my taxes. I'm not allowed to lie about how much money I have in the bank or play games with where that money is so that I can obtain federal student loans. I am not allowed to be dishonest in my business practices. And to do so, folks, does not fall into, well, that's just the way we do it. It falls into the world of, this is something that God calls an abomination. Now, I hope that none of us ever do that. And I want to take a moment and just give you my good assurances that we as a church ministry never willingly, deliberately, consciously try to do that with any vendor. We pay the bills, we file the forms, we honor the copyright laws, we make good faith efforts to do that. And if somebody points out that maybe something that we have done is questionable or objectionable, we fix it. We just don't do that. Neither do we play the game of trying to bilk merchants out of goods because we are a poor church. Give us your fair price, do the right job, we will pay the bill. God covets a just balance, an honest bag. And folks, the quantity of money is not the issue, and the amount of money that is in the hands of the other guy is not the issue. It doesn't matter, for instance, if I drill a hole in the stone and take out an ounce away from the shekel, or whether I drill two holes in the stone and take 2 ounces out. If I am cheating, I am cheating. And God does not want us to cheat. Let me ask you, if you would please, to go back to Leviticus chapter 19. And I just want to begin to wind it down by making sure that we see the rationale behind the command. In Leviticus 19, 35 through 36, God not only gives us the command, but he gives us the rationale behind the command, the explanation behind the command. Why does he talk to us this way? All right, Leviticus 19:35. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. There is the law. What follows in verse 35, what follows in verse number 36 is the twofold explanation. Explanation number one, God's authority. God's authority. Why does it have to be this way? I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. I am the master. I am Jehovah. I am your maker. I am your redeemer. I am your Messiah, I am your Savior, and by all of that authority, I command you to be honest, upright, ethical in your financial dealings with both other people and with merchants. God is righteous. God does not lie. God does not cheat. God does not rob. God does not steal. God does not play those kinds of games. He is righteous. We are to be righteous. The second explanation that is given is not one of authority, but one of ability. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And therefore, ye shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. Folks, God's people do not need to cheat, steal, lie, deceive, or play some kind of a financial shell game to get ahead in this world. The God who brought his people up out of the land of Egypt has more than adequate ability to meet our financial needs. We do not need to resort to stealing from our brothers and sisters or even from the world to get ahead. This is part of the argument that he makes. We want to make sure that we think as best we can properly about what it means to have a God who lives in a place where the streets are made of gold. Certainly, it describes his indescribable wealth, but furthermore, perhaps it reflects a little bit of his value system about how much gold really means to him. In 2 Chronicles 25, King Amaziah hired mercenaries to protect the nation of Judah. He went out and he hired some foreign soldiers, and God sent a prophet to rebuke him. Because again, we're on the same issue here. We're on the subject matter of ability. Can God protect his people, or does he require a foreign army to do it? And Amaziah said, okay, I will send the army back, but what should I do about the money that we've spent? Because I took a lot of money out of the government treasury to hire these mercenaries. 2 Chronicles 25:9, Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Depending upon who you consult, a talent is somewhere between 75 and 100 pounds. What about all that much money? And the preacher's answer was, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Now, folks, again, there's no place. We're not a prosperity gospel church. But the Bible is very clear. On the basis of God's authority, on the basis of God's ability, that being unethical to keep a couple of bucks in our bank account is a great sin. Not an insignificant thing. Not an under the rug and nobody knows kind of thing. But a genuinely significant thing. And so we wish to take the proverb to heart. Let's stand this evening and we'll pray.